भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अवत्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति निश्चिके मूकं करोति वाचालं बंगलंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं श्रीपरमानन्दमाधवम्। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 16, executing the Payavrata process of worship. So the first three verses have no purports, and the fourth verse there is some purport by Srila Prabhupada. So first I will read the first three verses and its translation, then we will go to verse 4. Srisuka Ubacha Evam Putresu Nastesu Deva Mata Ditistada Hrite Trivistape Daitai Paryatapyadanathavat. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, when Aditi's sons, the demigods, had thus disappeared from heaven and the demons had occupied their places, Aditi began lamenting as if she had no protector. Ekada kasyapa astasya Ashramam Bhagavanagat Niruschavam Niranandam Samadhir Viratyaschirat. After many days, the great powerful sage Kasyapa Muni arose from a trance of meditation and returned home to see the ashram of Aditi neither jubilant nor festive. Sapatning dina vadanang krutasana parigraha sabhajito yatha nayam idam aha kurudvaha. O best of the kurus, when Kasyapa Muni had been properly received and welcomed, he took his seat and then spoke as follows to his wife Aditi, who was very morose. Now text 4. Api avadrangna vipranam bhadre loke dhunagatam na dharmasya na lokasya mrityuschandanuvartinah. Api, whether, avadram, ill fortune, na, not, vipranam, of the Brahmanas, Bhadre, O most gentle Aditi, Loke, in this world, Adhuna, at the present moment, Agatam has come, not Dharmasya, of religious principles, not Lokasya, of the people in general, Mritya, death, Chandanuvartina, who are followers of the whims of death. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O most gentle one, I wonder whether anything inauspicious has now taken place in regard to religious principles, the Brahmanas, or the people in general, who are subject to the whims of death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are prescribed duties for all the inhabitants of this material world, especially for the Brahmanas, but also for the people in general who are subject to the whims of death. Kassapa Muni wondered whether the regulatory principles, which are meant for the well-being of everyone, had been disobeyed. He accordingly continued his inquiries for 7 verses. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavansa Sri Rupam Sagradatam Sagana Raghunatha Nitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo 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 Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Se Namo Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, in this chapter. So Sukadeva Goswami specifically describing the Payobrata process of worship, which was instructed by Kassapa Muni to his wife Aditi. So as we all know, that Bali Maharaj, being empowered by the Brahmins and performing Vishwajit sacrifice, he had become very powerful and he invaded the heavenly planets. And when King Indra saw that Bali Maharaj, who was defeated and who was dead in the battle, now he has been revived and now he is attacking the heavenly planets with full force, practically surrounding the heavenly planets from all around. So Indra became very curious to know how Bali Maharaj became so powerful. And he dared to attack the heavenly planets. So he went to his guru, Brihaspati. And from Brihaspati he learned that now Bali Maharaj has been empowered by the Brahmins. So that's why he has become very powerful, and now it is very difficult for the demigods to defeat him. So when Indra heard this, that they will not be able to defeat Bali Maharaj, then they all, by the advice of Brihaspati, left heavenly planets and remained here, and they are incognito. So the heavenly planets became devoured of the demigods. And Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly planets, and all the demons, they stayed in the heavenly planets. So this was something very unnatural, because generally the demigods, they rule the heavenly planets, and they are the demigods who are in charge of different departments of the universe. So now the demons have taken over the different departments of the universe. And Bali Maharaj was chief of them. So when Mother Aditi, who is the mother of the demigods, heard this, she became very morose. And it is natural that when the children, they are bereft of their opulences, and not only opulences, they are bereft of their residences also. They have been driven out from their residence, and they are also bereft of their opulences. So that is, materially, this is a very sorrowful situation. And generally the mothers, who are very, very affectionate to their children, they also feel morose in this situation. That's why Aditi, who are the mother of the demigods, she was very much morose seeing the situation of her sons, the demigods. So here we say, see, Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami is describing that evaṁ putresu nashtesu devata deva mātā aditi stada hṛte trivistape daitehi paryatapi anāthavat. So Aditi, when she saw that her sons, they have left the heavenly kingdom and that has been usurped by the demons, so she was actually feeling very morose, like anathavat, as if she has no protector. Generally, the husband is the protector of the wife, according to Vedic principles. So here we see that Aditi, though she was the wife of great powerful sage Kasyapa Muni, but she was feeling like unprotected, because Kasyapa Muni was not at the house. He was not at the house with his wife. He was performing meditation for a long time. That's why he was out of the house and he was concentrating his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for a long time. So he was not affected by the miseries of the demigods. Generally, the parents, father and mother, both are generally affected by the miseries of the children. But Kasyapa Muni, because he was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was in trance, so he was not affected by the situation of the demigods. But Mother Aditi was affected because she was at home and she was seeing that how the demigods have been driven out by the demons. So she was very much afflicted by this condition. And she was feeling helpless because her husband was not there and she had no one to approach for. So in that situation, Aditi was living in the residence, in the ashram. It has been stated, ashram of Aditi. So then, after some time, ekada kasyapastasya ashramam bhagavan agata. So here Kasyapa has been addressed as Bhagavan, because he was very, very powerful sage. He was Prajapati. So he was actually ordered to create progeny. And most of the living entities, they actually came from Kasyapa Muni. So Kasyapa Muni was very powerful, and after many, many days, Kasyapa Muni came to the ashram of Aditi, where Aditi was living. So Kasyapa Muni, after many, many years, he came to Aditi's ashram. And then when he came to Aditi's ashram, he saw, what did he saw? Nirushchavam. So there is no festivity in Aditi's ashram. And Aditi was not very enthusiastic either. Generally, when the husband leaves home, so the wife feels separation from the husband. And naturally, she does not take care of her body, feeling separation of her husband. But when husband arrives at home, then she feels very jubilant. And in that way, she receives the husband with great festivity. But here, when Kasyapa Muni arrived at the ashram of Aditi, he saw that his wife Aditi was not very jubilant to receive him, and that's why there was no arrangement in the ashram and Niranandam. And also there was no pleasure in the ashram. Aditi was not feeling very happy to receive her husband. And then Kasava Muni also saw that the whole ashram is bereft of festivity and pleasure. The moroseness is looming all over in ashram. So Kasava Muni understood something has happened, because generally it does not take place like this, because the wife would be very enthusiastic to receive her husband after many years. So something has happened. So then Kasava Muni Sapatni Dina Vadana. Then Kasava Muni looked towards his wife Aditi, and he saw Aditi was a Dina Vadana. She had a morose face or dry face, because face is the index of the mind. So if someone is very jubilant, it will be expressed in the face. Face will also look very jubilant, and she should be smiling to receive her husband after many years. But Aditi was not smiling. Mlana Badana. Dina Badana. So her face was looking very morose face, and Krutasana Parigraha. Of course, she did not neglect her duty to receive her husband, though she was not very happy, not because of her husband, because of her sons, but when Kasava Muni arrived, she also offered him a seat. She did not neglect her duty. So when Aditi offered a seat, then Kasava Muni sat down, accepted the seat. Sabhajito jatha nyayam idam ah kurudva. So being honored in this way by Aditi, Kasava Muni now spoke to Aditi. So he was comfortable, he sat down, and then he spoke to Aditi what has happened. So Sukadeva Goswami was giving this account. He was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, who are the best of the Kurus, Kurudvaha. So here Kasava Muni is inquiring in the fourth verse. Kasava Muni is telling, Api avadram na vipranam bhadre loke adhunagatam. So generally we see, if a husband is outside of his house for many days or years, and he is coming back to his house and he sees the wife is not very happy, she has a morose face, then naturally the husband would think that something has happened at the house, at home. Something has happened to his family members. So naturally he would inquire about his family members. his children, or those who are living in the family, or anything has happened to the wife, he would inquire about that first. But here we see Kassapa Muni, he is not inquiring about his wife, his family members, children, nothing. This shows that Kassapa Muni was not any ordinary grihastha. Generally, we give examples of the grihasthas, those who are devotees of the Lord, great devotees of the Lord. We generally give their example, oh, they did this, so we are doing this. We compare ourselves with them. But we see that Kassapa Muni, though he was a grihastha, householder, and he did not inquire from his wife about his wife or his family members. The first question he asked to his wife, what did he ask? Na dharmasya, na lokasya, mrittu chandanu vartin, api avadram na viprana. Then dharma and then loka. Kassapa Muni first inquired from his wife about the Brahmins. He asked his wife, my dear wife, he actually addressing her as Bhadra, Bhadrai. Bhadra means who is full of auspiciousness. So, he is asking that if anything inauspicious happened to the Brahmins, that is his first question. That means Kassapa Muni was concerned about the welfare of the Brahmins. Why? Because in a Varnasram society, Brahmins are considered the head of the society. They are supposed to be the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, study his instructions, follow his instructions, and instruct others in the society to follow, by which everyone can live happily in this material world. That's why Brahmins are very important in the society, in the Varnasram system. Because they are subject to guide the society through the religious principles or according to the scripture given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Brahmins are properly situated, and they are performing their respective duties, then the society can run smoothly. When Brahmins are disturbed, then society also will get disturbed. That's why we see that when the kings become atheistic, those who are supposed to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's why the kings are considered Naradeva. So they are like demigods among the human beings, the kings, because they are supposed to follow the instructions of the Brahmins, who are supposed to follow the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the Brahmins, they are called Brahmanadeva, because they are followers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when the atheistic kings rule the planet, then people would not become very happy and prosperous. there will be discrepancies. People will be suffering. Because the atheistic kings would stop, first they would stop the Brahmins to perform religious duties. The first they attack Brahmins. They know that the Brahmins are the root cause for the sustenance of the welfare society. So the first attack, Dharma, first attack Brahmins. That's how we see everywhere in Kali Yuga, the Brahmins are not protected. Neither the Brahmins are protected, nor they are doing their duties. So, it is very, very important in a society to protect the Brahmins. If Brahmins are protected, the society will run smoothly. And they can guide the society properly. That's why the first question was raised by Kasyapa Muni to Aditi, that if anything inauspiciousness has happened to the Brahmins, that's why you are sad, that's why your face is looking so morose. This is the first question. And second question, na dharmasya. If anything inauspiciousness happened to, in regard to follow the religious principles, people are not able to follow the religious principles, or they are prescribed duties. So this is the second question. Kasyapa Muni is asking. And third one is lokasya. And third question is that if the general populace, those who are mrittu chandanu vartina, those who are subject to the winds of death, anytime death can come to anyone. Sometimes we think, like everyone else is dying, but I will not die. This is a great illusion. And this is a great surprise also. When the Yaksha asked Maharaj Yudhishthir, Kimascharjam, what is the wonderful, surprising thing in this material world? So Maharaj Yudhishthir had answered to Yaksha that ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti ha jamalayam. That every day people they see that someone is going to the abode of Yamaraj, means someone is dying. Sesang jivitung icchanti kimastarja ataparam. But those who are living, they think they will never die. Others are dying, but they will live. Jivitung icchanti. They want to live, they don't want death. So what can be more surprising thing than this? So that means everyone in this material world is subject to the whims of death. Everyone has to die one day. But we make so many plans in this material world as if we will live here eternally. We forget that the sword of death is hanging on the top of our head. Any moment it can fall. But here, Kasyapa Muni, he is asking that the people in general, those who are subject to the whims of death, if anything has, anything inauspicious has happened to them, if they are all properly situated or not, because anything can happen at any time. So Kasyapa Muni was anticipating that anything can happen. Otherwise, how Aditi can be so morose? So this is the first question Kasyap Muni asked. He did not ask about his children or about Aditi's welfare, but he asked about Brahmins, the religious principles, and the people in general. This makes a person great. When a person thinks about others, not about himself, then he is considered a great personality who wants welfare of others, not his own welfare. Like Vasudeva Datta said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that my dear Lord, you give the sins of all the residents of this material world. I will take their sins. Let me go to the hell, but let others be delivered. This is the heart of a devotee. That's why it has been stated, a sadhu, he lives in this material world not for himself, not for his own livelihood. He lives for the benefit of others. That is Vaishnava. A Vaishnava always thinks the benefit of others. He does not think about his own benefit. A Vaishnava may suffer, but he wants to give happiness to others. That's why Srila Prabhupada, when he was staying in Vrindavan after taking sannyas, he was well situated here, like any other sadhu, those who chant the holy name and cultivate Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan. So they take vow not to leave Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada was feeling that how people of this material world were suffering without Krishna consciousness. They don't know about Krishna. That's why they are suffering. That is the only reason of suffering. That's why Prabhupada took all the trouble at the old age, at the age of 70. He left a comfortable place in Vrindavan and he went to America taking a Jalduta ship with two heart attacks on the way. So this is sadhu, that for others, to deliver others, they take all kinds of trouble for themselves. That is the goal of their life. And Srila Prabhupada took all his trouble to deliver the whole world. And that's why we see the benefit of Srila Prabhupada's taking that trouble, that we all have been actually saved by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. That's why we will be always eternally indebted at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So here, Kasyapa Muni, as a great soul, so he is also thinking for the benefit of the whole world. That's why he was very much concerned about Brahmins, the religious principles, and people in general. That if anything inauspicious has happened to them. So then he continues in other verses, up to 7 verses, he is asking the welfare of others. Then at the end he is asking about his family, children, and others. So this makes one a great personality. When someone thinks about the welfare of others, not his own welfare. So in this way, Kasyapa Muni is trying to find out from Aditi exactly what has happened, why she is feeling morose, and what can be the remedy for that. Of course, later on we can hear that Aditi, she is expressing her mind, that why she was feeling morose, and she was requesting her husband to do something by which her children would get back their heavenly planet, get back their opulence. So later on Kasya Muni suggested about Payavrata, by which one can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and get his mercy. So Aditi got that mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the Lord himself came as the son of Aditi, as Upendra. So we'll read later on in this chapter. So we'll stop here, and of course the time is over. Maybe I'll take a few minutes to speak about Srila Ishwarpuri. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Ishwarpuri. So Srila Ishwarpuri, we all know that he is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Jai Srila Ishwarpuri Pad ki jai. So Ishwarpuri Pad, he was also the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri is considered the first sprout in our line, the first sprout of Krishna Prem. Because Madhavendra Puri was always observed in feeling separation from Krishna. Taking the mood of Srimati Radharani, like Radharani, when Krishna left Vrindavan, went to Mathura, so Radharani was constantly crying and praying to Krishna. Ai Dina Dayardha Natha He Mathura Natha Kadavalokyase Hridayam Tvada Aloka Kataram Daitam Brahmati King Karome. Ai Dina Dayardha Natha He Mathura Natha Kadavalokyase. Srimati Radharani is addressing Krishna as Mathura Natha. Though Krishna was Vrindavan Nath, Gopinath, but now Radharani is addressing Krishna as Mathura Nath. Because after going to Mathura, Radharani is thinking that Krishna has forgotten about Vrindavan, about the gopis, and he is staying in Mathura. And he has now become the Lord of Mathura. That's a Srimati Radharani is addressing Krishna as Mathura Nath and telling him that, O Lord Krishna, O Lord of Mathura, you are Dina Dayardha Nath. You are the Lord of the Dinas, or those who are poor, very poor, those who have nothing in possession. You are very merciful to them. So when I am very dina, I am also very poor. Without you, this whole world is empty for me. And you are very merciful, that's why please be merciful on me. Srimati Radharani is praying. And what mercy is expecting from Krishna? Now, ai dina dayardha natha he Mathura natha kadavalokyase. When will I be able to see you, see your lotus face, see your lotus feet? When that time will come? Kadavalokyase. Hridayam tad aloka kataram daita bhramati kim karomi. And without seeing you, my mind is reeling. That's why, dear Krishna, what can I do? Where should I go to find you? This was the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Madhavendra Puri was always reciting this verse and feeling the same mood, feeling separation of Krishna. That's it has been stated that Madhavendra Puri was full of Krishna prema. And Ishwara Puri was his disciple. When Madhavendra Puri was very old, then Ishwara Puri, as his disciple, he was actually serving the Guru, the spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. And when Madhavendra Puri was unable to do his own, take care of himself, even Ishwara Puri was cleaning his urine and stool in his own hands. That is the dedication Ishwara Puri showed for serving the spiritual master Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri was very much pleased on Ishwara Puri, seeing his mood of service. And he actually embraced Ishwara Puri and gave this benediction to Ishwara Puri that I am benedicting you that you will attain love of Krishna. So Ishwara Puri, by the benediction of Madhavendra Puri, actually attained the love of Krishna. So Ishwara Puri, he was a sannyas disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So one time he came to Navadvip. In Navadvip he stayed in the house of Gopinath Acharya. He stayed there for many days and he was not exhibiting his exalted qualities in front of the devotees. So one day he went to the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya had two houses. One was in Santipur, another was in Mayapur. So Ishwara Puri went to the house of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya that time was worshipping the Lord in his house. So Ishwara Puri went there and sat there near Advaita Acharya. And he was watching how Advaita Acharya was worshipping the Lord. So when Advaita Acharya noticed the presence of Ishwara Puri, he looked towards him, but he did not tell him anything. He was continuing his worship, deity worship, but he was looking again and again towards Ishwara Puri, trying to find out who was he. But then at the end, Advaita Acharya asked Ishwara Puri that, "Can I know who are you?" Then Ishwara Puri, he was so humble. He was a very humble Vaishnava. So he said, "I am lowest of the low among Sudras." He expressed like this, that among Sudras I am lowest of the low. And I just came here to get the darshan of your lotus feet. So Advaita Acharya, when he heard this, so humble, he understood that this must be a Vaishnava sannyasi. Otherwise, how one can be so humble like this? Because generally the Vaishnava sannyasis are supposed to be humble like this. Because the Mayavadi sannyasis, they are very proud. They think, Aham Brahmasmi. I am the Brahman. So they are very proud of that. That's why they address each other as Namo Narayan. But the Vaishnava sannyasis are different, completely different from Mayavadi sannyasis. They are more humble in their attitude. So seeing Ishwarpuri's behavior, Advaita Acharya could understand that he must be a Vaishnava sannyasi. But in Advaita Acharya's house, there are other devotees also there. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not manifested his Sankirtan pastimes by that time. He was doing his childhood pastime, studying and teaching others. So he was very famous as Nimai Pandit at that time. So Advaita Acharya, he was actually discussing Krishna Katha with other devotees in Navadvip. So other devotees like Srivas Pandit, Mukunda Datta, they all used to come to Advaita Acharya, so they are every day this discuss about Krishna and do Krishna Naam Sankirtan. So Mukunda Datta, he understood that this person must be a great personality, a Vaishnava sannyasi. To manifest his glory, Mukunda Datta started singing a beautiful song about Krishna's pastimes. So when Mukunda started singing Krishna Leela song, then immediately Ishwarpuri became very ecstatic. And out of ecstasy, he shed tears of love and he rolled in the ground. And when he rolled in the ground, then all the devotees could understand that he must be a great devotee of Krishna. So then they found out that actually Ishwarpuri was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who had received the mercy of Madhavendra Puri. So then all the devotees actually worshipped Ishwarpuri after knowing that he was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Advaita Acharya was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Ishwarpuri stayed in Navadi for some time. And then one day, on the way, Ishwarpuri saw Nimai Pandit. Nimai Pandit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was returning from his Patsala where he was teaching to students and he was holding a book like teachers hold books. And he was returning home. Ishwarpuri saw Nimai Pandit. So seeing Nimai Pandit, Ishwarpuri became very pleased. He understood that this boy must be a great personality. Ishwarpuri understood this. So then Ishwarpuri asked Nimai Pandit that who are you? What is your name? So Nimai Pandit, he only bent his head and folded his hands in front of Ishwarpuri. Then his students, those who were accompanying Nimai Pandit, then they said to Ishwarpuri that he is Nimai Pandit. So Nimai Pandit was very famous in Navadvip that time. So Ishwarpuri then was very happy to hear that he was the Nimai Pandit. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu folded his hands and told Ishwarpuri, actually invited Ishwarpuri to his house for lunch. He did not say lunch. Generally for sannyasis it is bhiksha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited Ishwarpuri to give bhiksha at his house. So Ishwarpuri agreed and he came with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. And when Satchimata heard this, that Ishwarpuri has come, so very quickly she prepared many preparations, offered to the Lord, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself served Ishwarpuri with different kinds of prasad. So Ishwarpuri was very happy to receive nice Krishna prasadam at the house of Nimai Pandit. And then as long as Ishwarpuri stayed in Navadvip, Nimai Pandit used to visit in every evening. He used to visit Gopinatha Acharya's house where Ishwarpuri was staying. And he used to offer his obeisances to him. Then later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to manifest his Sankirtan pastimes, so he went to Gaya to give oblations to his forefathers. So after giving oblations to his forefathers, he went to Vishnupada temple where the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu is there in Vishnupada temple. So he went there for darshan. And there, seeing Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, he was in great ecstasy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was rolling in the ground and shedding tears of love. And Ishwarpuri was present there. He saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. So Chandrasekhar Acharya, who was accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Ishwarpuri came to know from Chandrasekhar Acharya about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to his external senses and he saw Ishwarpuri standing there, he offered his obeisances to Ishwarpuri and said that, "My dear Lord, I am offering myself at your lotus feet. Please deliver me from this material world." So in this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually surrendered at the lotus feet of Ishwarpuri, and Ishwarpuri gave mantra diksha to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after getting this mantra diksha from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Sri Ishwarpuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, overwhelmed with the love of Krishna, he was chanting and dancing. And then while returning to Navadvip, he came through the Janmasthan, birthplace of Ishwarpuri. Ishwarpuri's birthplace was Kumarhatta, now in Bangladesh, near Halisar station, railway station. So he came through Kumarhatta, and when he saw the birthplace of Ishwarpuri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great ecstasy, he rolled in the ground in the birthplace of Ishwarpuri. And then he took some dust from the birthplace of Ishwarpuri and tied in a cloth and brought with him. And in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually showed his devotion to the spiritual master. And then later on, when Ishwarpuri came once again to Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited Ishwarpuri to his house And that time he himself cooked for his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And in that way he served Ishwarapuri. And later on we see that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, went to Nilachal, and Ishwarapuri, at the end of his life, he instructed two of his disciples, Govinda and Kasiswar Pandit, to go back to Nilachal and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Ishwarapuri has understood. So, under his order, Govinda and Kasiswar went to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Nilachal. So, in this way, Ishwarapuri left this world. That was his last instruction to his disciple Govinda and Kasiswar, because he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this way, he once expressed this, that he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that whenever I see you Krishna in you. So, that was the feeling of Ishwarapuri. So, today on this day, we pray at the lotus feet of Sri Ishwarapuri to bless us and give that Krishna prema, a pinch of Krishna prema, by which we can make our life successful. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Ishwar Pripad ki, Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Jai Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki, Jai Sri Prabhupada Maharaj ki, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari.